It is that moment. It is that wonderful moment. It's Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch. We have been waiting for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, all week. Hello, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch. Happy
Good
Mensch.
morning, good afternoon, good evening, good
Good
after
night, I love
whatever the middle
that.
of the night, if that's when you're listening. Anyway, my nephew, not the doctor, my nephew, the deli man, says to me recently, have you heard, he's getting to be this age, have you heard that sun-dried tomatoes, if eaten regularly, will help your prostate problems? Well, first of all, how do you know I have prostate problems? But anyway, he's 47, I guess, and he's starting. Anyway, point is, the answer is I didn't know that, but now I do because I've done some research. Because this is like one of his customers at the deli told him this, and I must say it's around. I went online and it's around. In fact, there are even supplements, meaning dietary pills that you take that can that contain the active ingredient in sun-dried tomatoes, which is lipo. Is it lipocine? I think it's lipocine is how you pronounce it. And you can look this up. It's everywhere. And I knew that lipocine was available in tomato, in processed tomatoes, more so than in fresh tomatoes. One of those cases where, in fact, the cooked tomatoes are healthier than the uncooked product. In some cases, in some vegetables, it's one way and another or the other. In the case of tomatoes, it ends up the more you cook them, the more you process them, the more lipocine you have per, I guess, per square cell, however you measure that. And so the biggest sources of lipocine are not just plain old tomato sauce, which is plenty, by the way, but sun-dried tomatoes, which are very concentrated, and tomato paste, which we all know, in fact, is called in Italian concentrato, concentrate. And it is a really good source of flavor and in the parlance of the day, umami, which is that undefinable deepness of flavor. I always think in Yiddish, it's the word tam. Does it have tam? It means it's sort of flavor that resonates. And tomatoes do that. And in fact, here's a secret. My Neapolitan friends, when they make a clam sauce, which by the way, not even after tomato sauce, but even before tomato sauce, is the most popular sauce in Naples. But they use a very special small clam. They always put in a couple of cherry tomatoes cut up, even though it's white clam sauce and it's not a tomato sauce, but a few chopped cherry tomatoes brings out the flavor the way MSG does. In fact, tomatoes, I didn't look this up. I didn't do any research currently on this, but I do know that tomatoes are a natural source of MSG. And in folklore, they quote, carry flavor, which means they enhance flavor. So back to sun-dried tomatoes. So now I'm trying to incorporate sun-dried. It ends up that there's no scientific proof that lipocine, even in concentrated forms like tomato paste, no scientific proof that this is going to have good effects on your prostate. However, and also high blood pressure. Actually, if you look it up, a whole slew of things are helped out by lipocine, which is in fact available abundantly in these tomato products, but also in some other things, in like red peppers. Anything that's really red has lipocine. By the way, in the case of red peppers, it's more available when it's cooked, and not only cooked, but in these are fat. Lipocine is a fat soluble, how do we say, nutrient, I guess, and so it's absorbed best when in the presence of oil, olive oil. I mean, so tomatoes cooked with olive oil is like the height of prostate health, but you can't eat that every day. But I have two recipes to help you get more a lipocine into your diet. And one of them is with tomato paste. So many years ago, my friend Juliana, I don't know what got into her. It's because I wrote a book called What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat. And she said, you want to see what I make when there's nothing in the house to eat? And what it was, or is, because I'm sure she still makes it, I still make it, is a creamed tomato sauce for whatever pasta you want, truly. I know that Juliana prefers like penne or ziti, but I like it on spaghetti. It's a very smooth, silky sauce, so it works very well on spaghetti. And you make it by first sauteing finely minced garlic as much as you like. I mean, I would say for, let's say, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, you want 2 large cloves of garlic finely minced. And don't let them get brown, but as soon as they start the slightest little brown, you add your tomato paste. Now, Juliana measures it by half a tube of tomato paste. I don't think you need quite half a tube, but certainly 2 heaping tablespoons of tomato paste. Now, I buy my tomato paste in tubes because I don't use that much of it at one time. And in a tube, you put the cap back on, you put it in the fridge, and it's there for you even a month later. Whereas if you have a can of tomato paste, you've got to deal with part of a can of tomato paste, and the only way I know how to do that is to freeze it. Otherwise, it gets moldy pretty quick in the fridge. There is tomato paste that I do buy from Sicily that is so concentrated, so low in moisture, that it doesn't ever get moldy. What it will do is oxidize eventually. Now, lipocine, by the way, is an antioxidant. So tomato paste does not really go bad quickly. Because it's basically one big antioxidant. So I would say it's at least 2 heaping tablespoons of tomato paste. You smush that into the olive oil with the garlic. You try to incorporate it as best you can, which is not so easy. I usually use a wooden fork to help me with this. And then you add milk. I would say start out with 3/4 of a cup of milk. I know that sounds crazy, but it's a, you know, people love penne alla vodka. And what is that? It's nothing but a cream tomato sauce with garlic and hot pepper. And this is pretty much the same thing. If you want it, by the way, if you want to make it spicy, go ahead and put the crushed red pepper flakes in with the oil and the garlic, and then add your tomato paste, and then add the milk, and keep stirring it and smushing it until you get a smooth sauce. That's it. You might want to supplement the salt, taste it. You might want to add more pepper, taste it. And that's pretty much it. Now, that's a very nice concentrated tomato paste dish. Should have lots of lycopene. And it has, of course, olive oil so that it can be assimilated into your system. Now, sun-dried tomatoes, I have not, you know, they became like super trendy in the 1980s. And the whole thing fizzled out in the 1990s. So it's already a long time ago that sun-dried tomatoes were trendy, but they were, and too trendy, which is why it died out so quick. Fact is, my friends in southern Italy all use sun-dried tomatoes. It's not to them a trendy ingredient. And in fact, Cecilia makes huge batches of this because you can buy dry tomatoes. In Italy, you just buy, you know, a bag of dried tomatoes at the market, and then you have to put them under oil yourself if that's what you want to do. And the ones you buy in the US are invariably under oil. And I bought some the other day. I didn't, you know, they had several brands where I went, and I picked the one that had the least flavoring. Some of these packaged sun-dried tomatoes are over-seasoned, meaning they have not only oregano and garlic, but who knows what else. But anyway, I don't really want all their herbs. I can tolerate oregano and garlic. But anyway, this brand that I bought had seemed to be nothing but tomatoes and oil. So I thought that was a good thing. But they were mushy. How I used them, however, was a good thing, and I will do it again. Trying to get more fiber in my diet. We've been trying to eat some legumes every day, actually. And that day, I made a cannellini bean salad. I buy these really good cannellini from Umbria. They really are better, dried beans. They really are better than what we grow here in the US. I've compared them. So I'm willing to pay $5 or $6 a pound for cannellini. We go through a lot. I mean, I boiled up the whole pound and only used 2 cups for a salad. So in my 2 cups of drained but well-cooked cannellini beans, I added a small red onion, finely minced. I added 2 sizable ribs of celery, finely minced, and sun dried tomatoes. Now, these were sort of mushy, as I said. I cut them up into little pieces as best I could, but they were sort of falling apart. I would really wish they had left a little bit more, a little bit more presence when the whole thing was done. But I must have used, I don't know, 1/4 cup of minced dried tomatoes and some chopped parsley and oil, extra oil, my best extra virgin olive oil. And the juice of, I had 2 lemons, but they were sort of old lemons, can I say? They didn't produce that much juice. But I used the juice of the 2 lemons and I supplemented it with a tablespoon or so of vinegar. I grabbed the red wine vinegar, so it was red wine vinegar, but if it was white wine, that would be good. Apple cider would be good. You just needed a little bit more acidity. And by the way, it's best to leave this stand for, at least an hour, and it'll sort of, come together, so to speak. It was a delicious salad. And I was actually tempted to add more sun-dried tomatoes. But I was saving some of the jar for another use. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make, this is a plan I already have. I'm going to make lentils with bulgur. And that is always for me garnished with a huge amount of fried onions. So for, let's say I'm going to fry up 2 pounds of onions. By the way, onions were on sale in my supermarket the other day. I wonder if they're on queue. The onions got expensive all of it. Well, not expensive, but onions got expensive for onions. But now they were, it was down to like 40 cents a pound. Anyway, I'm going to fry up 2 pounds of onions, sliced thin until they're very well caramelized. That's going to take at least 3 tablespoons of oil, maybe a little more. And separately, I will cook a cup of lentils in water. 1 cup of lentils, I would say 4 cups of water. And when that's all, when the lentils are sort of almost tender, not really, I by my lentils 15 minutes, I'm going to add bulgur. I've tried to find coarse bulgur, I could not. So I'm using my Bob's Red Mill, whatever granulation they have, which is not so fine. It's good. It's an all-purpose granulation. I'm going to add 1/2 cup of bulgur and a few of my fried onions and let that all cook together for another, it usually takes another 15 to 20 minutes until the bulgur is tender and the lentils are tender. And you top that with a lot of fried onions. But meantime, I'm going to dice up sun-dried tomatoes and toss that in with the lentils and bulgur. I know this is going to be good. Oh yeah, I sometimes, and I will this time, I put a, let's say, 1/2 teaspoon of cumin into the water with the bulgur and lentils. You don't need anything else, salt and pepper. And then when everything is nice and tender, you pour it out onto a dish and top it with yet more fried onion. And if you want, I guess you could put some more diced or even whole sun-dried tomatoes. I have to go searching for the real dried tomatoes, not, already in under oil with seasoning, because I know I'm going to like those better. I like them a little bit firm. So that's it. So we've got the spaghetti with dried tomato paste. And a bulgur and lentils, which is, I never know how to pronounce it. It's either mujadara or mujadara. And it's very, very typical Middle Eastern sort of every country makes some version of this. I used to make it with rice. Now, you probably have, if you ever went to a Middle Eastern place, they usually are making it with its lentils and rice with all the fried onions. But to boost the fiber, and I have to say flavor as well, and the glycemic profile of the dish, I make it with bulgur, which is in fact healthier than rice. You know, bulgur is whole grain wheat, which is par cooked, dehydrated, and then either ground fine, medium, or coarse. Could be whole too. And when you and then you reconstitute it. It's one of those pantry ingredients that you can keep around for a very long time. Always have it on hand. I like it as a pilaf unto itself. And then I have a recipe that I use it in. This is something I've been making for 50 years. There was used to be in Greenwich Village in the 1970s, early 80s, a restaurant called the Manhattan Chili Company. And even then, they catered to vegetarians. I'm not sure vegans, but certainly vegetarians. And but the vegan dish, now that I think of it. And they had a what they called green bean vegetarian chili. And the genius of this recipe, besides that it's full of flavor and fiber, is that it's so you add bulgur to it at the end, and the bulgur gives it the texture, perhaps, if you use your imagination, of ground beef. So you've got string beans, chickpeas, and what was the third? And I guess kidney beans, a lot of vegetables, onion, pepper, red pepper, not hot red pepper, sweet red pepper, tomatoes. You can look this up online. I'm sure this recipe is somewhere on the internet. Manhattan Chili Company's three bean vegetarian chili. If not, it's in my book, Soup Suppers. Jill has that book. It's one of the recipes I make most frequently from that book. By the way, my book, Soup Suppers, which is main course soups, is also my best seller. Oh no. I wrote it
That
because I
is
needed a cook.
probably, I'm sorry, but that's probably because when you look at the main course soups and the suggestions that you make for the rest of the meal, you've got, a
Right. You like that
full
part.
dinner.
You like that part. Yeah, no.
I
There are
love it.
whole meals there. You don't have to just have soup. Although these days I'm really am back into soup with the dental problems of old age. I
You're
appreciate.
channeling Marshall on so many accounts. I think I just have to say the frying onions, that would have elicited an immediate because he used to just enfragrance his house by frying onions and,
No, really, where do you start? You fry an onion. I
right.
used to say, I used to, you know, the wisdom used to be that when you're selling your property, your house, you should bake something with cinnamon so that when the people come through to look at your house, they smell the cinnamon, feel it smells homey, blah, blah. You know what? No cinnamon for me. Fry onions.
Right.
The smell of onions frying, either in olive oil or in butter. Although I must say butter does produce an incredible fragrance. It just makes your house smell like my, you know what makes my house smell like my grandmother's? When I make a chicken soup with an old hen or soup chicken, as she would call it. And I can buy those. I got to order it ahead of time. But the flavor and the aroma is different than making
Interesting.
chicken soup the way I usually do, which is just with a lot of chicken backs parts. Anyway, so try to incorporate you guys who need this help. You should try to incorporate more tomatoes in your diet. And by the way, after tomato paste and sun-dried tomatoes comes, you're not going to believe this, ketchup is very high in lipocine, as is watermelon. So with summer coming up, that could encourage you to eat more watermelon too. Sort of anything red, but cooked tomatoes and very well cooked tomatoes are tops in the lycopene department. So everybody have a red week.
All
And
right.
it's full-blown spring here. And I'm going to enjoy that finally.
You're going to love it because you earned it.
So to
After
speak.
this last winter, you earned spring. I say that to everybody, but it's true.
Okay, well, this year I think we did, yeah. I would say yes. All right, my friends. Good
All
to
right.
talk to you all. If I come up with any, oh, let me just say that, because I only did this a week or two ago, that the dish that I make most frequently probably is lentils with pasta. And in my lentils with pasta, I do use a lot of lycopene. I use these days tomato paste out of the tube, but if I have any leftover tomatoes, any kind of tomato product added to your lentils, it'll do you good. All right,
Sounds
kids.
excellent tip, and we really appreciate everything. Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.